back with you one more time. And to end my show, I'm going to feature last week's St. James Westminster Anglican Church Sunday service from September 29th. I've been playing these without fail. I haven't missed a single show, and I haven't missed a single Sunday service helping St. James getting their service out to the congregation. Even though their congregation is coming back, they still want to keep me doing the live streaming because they think that's a new way to do church. And as I said, this isn't religious programming. It's community programming. They just happen to be an Anglican church. So without further ado, the Sunday service from St. James Westminster Anglican Church in Wortley Village. And I might as well sign off now, and I will be here live next week. Night Bat out.
morning, everyone. Please be seated for our announcements. Welcome to St. James on this beautiful fall Sunday. It is wonderful to gather together. There are a few announcements that I'd like to make. One is that churches in general don't like to pay for things they don't have to. And in result of that, we've got a bunch of Thanksgiving letters for you in the narthex. So if you'd like to go and save a stamp, we would love that. And you would get your Thanksgiving letters right now. It's a win-win. What could possibly go wrong? There are Thanksgiving letters available for you to pick up. So please do that. Last week, I had talked a little bit about the ministry fair and the sign-up sheets that we had for things like readers or intercessors or being a lay administrant that we definitely need some help with. And I said there were sign-up sheets in the Stirling Vestry, but there weren't. Good news. There is now sign-up sheets for those wonderful ministries today. So if you are feeling a little bit called and God gave you that niggle that you should sign up, and then there wasn't a sign-up sheet and you thought you got away with it, there is one more week for you to be able to sign up for different ministries in the church. The other two announcements that I have are about music. The first is from Paul, and the second we skimmed through very quickly about that first hymn. So, Steve, did you want to say something about that hymn?
Yes, I forgot to tell Barb there was a little explanatory slide before we got to the lyrics. But that hymn was composed back in the 1990s when I was music director at St. Michael on All Angels on Springbank Drive. And there was a wonderful poet who was a member of the congregation at the time, Sheila Martindale, who some of you may remember. And Sheila wrote that text for one of the anniversaries at St. Michael's. And one of our great choristers from that choir, who I remember fondly, Al Hart, helped me write the music for that. So we thought, since this is an important feast day of the church, as Michael will explain later in the sermon, we thought we'd dig out that hymn. And if you just got the tune in your head, in another 6 years, it'll come around again on a Sunday, and it'll be great. So thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Paul Garambo, and among other things, I am the artistic director of London Pro Musica Choir that is based right here at St. James. I'm here to talk about a rather interesting concert that is coming up this coming Saturday. Normally, we do our performances here. Normally, we do our performances indoors. But this Saturday, we are doing a performance at Westminster Ponds. It begins at 9 a.m., and what it is a 45-minute hike around one of the ponds up at Westminster Ponds. And during that hike, you will come across several different musical events at various points. It is a guided tour. It is free. All I ask is that you sign up at the website, and I believe there are posters posted with QR codes, and you can sign up from your phone. But at any rate, it will be a beautiful fall morning with beautiful music, and I encourage you to come. Thank you.
So with that, knowing that it is the Feast of St. Michael on All Angels and also the Sunday that we're celebrating Truth and Reconciliation, let us take a moment to have our land acknowledgement. So in this time and place, we gather on the ancestral beaver hunting grounds of the Algonquin, the Haudenosaunee, the Adirondack peoples, and the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe peoples, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, and the Lenni Lenape people, and the current communities of the Chippewa of the Thames First Nation, the Oneida Nation of the Thames, and the Munsee Delaware Nation. From many places and peoples, we come to this time of prayer. We uphold our common stewardship of creation and our common birthplace of God's earth.
We respect our place.
And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Please stand. Almighty God, to you all
hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy of that.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you have ordained and constituted in a wonderful order the ministries of angels and mortals. Grant that as your holy angels stand before you in heaven, so at your command they may help and defend us here on earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the Revelation to John. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven proclaiming, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our comrades has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. But they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, for they did not cling to life, even in the face of death. Rejoice then, you heavens and those who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you with great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Some of you may know that the church's calendar is absolutely overfilling with saints' days. You've got Saint Jedediah, you've got Saint Polycarp, you've got Saint you name it, and there's a saint's day and a feast day for it. Now, 99% of the time, when that feast day falls on a Sunday, the Sunday is more important, and we do the normal Sunday readings and the normal things. One of the few exceptions to that is today, the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels. That's one that if it falls on a Sunday, it takes precedent, so much so that the Doctrine Worship Committee of the Diocese of Huron decreed an edict that St. Michael's and All Angels shall be observed today in the Diocese of Huron, no matter what else you had planned going on. So here we are, celebrating St. Michael and All Angels, asking the Altar Guild to come and do an extra thing of changing all of the paraments and the hangings to white instead of green that they normally would be, so that we can do honor and justice to St. Michael and all the angels. But we're also, in the secular world, invited to observe Truth and Reconciliation Sundays. And I have heard on the clergy Facebook groups the grumbling about how do we uphold the Day of Truth and Reconciliation with the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels. And at first glance, they don't really appear to go together. Because St. Michael and All Angels tends to be a fairly militaristic feast in the church, to the point that at some points in our history, we might have been singing a hymn like Onward Christian Soldiers, which we won't do today. But other churches have the regimental battle standards, the flags that the armies use, hanging in their sanctuary. The militaristic side of the church has been decounted, put to the side in recent decades. But if we look through our old hymn book, we can see it to the point that this Sunday at the BCP service this morning, I prayed for the church militant here in earth. It's kind of hard. Because the Feast of St. Michael comes with this expectation of triumph. It comes with this understanding of the church victorious, making its way known, vanquishing the evil out around us, and ushering in the reign of God, and heralding Christendom as it has been known. And yet that's not the world we find ourselves in. And so in order to be more with the times, to be more focused and more sensitive to the culture that we find ourselves in, we've really put aside the militaristic image of the church. But I wonder, and this might not be a popular thing to say, I wonder if we might have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. You see, I do agree that if the weapons of the army of the church is righteousness and a surety and conformity and unity, then that is a good thing to get rid of. But I don't think that those are the weapons of the church militant. No conflict in history has ever truly been ended by force of arms. If we look at the Middle East, we see the resurgence of conflicts again and again and again. The Jewish people, the Palestinians, warring over power and control. Look at the Rwandan genocides. Look at how many different times an oppressed group just goes quiet, and we call that peace. We call that victory. only until that power rises again and the conflict ignites again, renewed, refreshed with stronger vigor and more vitriol than ever before. That is not how conflict ends. The way that conflict truly ends is when we see the stranger, when we see the outsider, when we see the person who doesn't look like us, doesn't worship like us, doesn't vote like us, doesn't love like us. And we say to them that that person is different and other and needs to conform to the way that we understand God. What if the true weapons of the church are seeing that stranger and seeing in them the image of God, the image of our Creator, the image that we share? And so that stranger goes from a stranger to a brother, to a friend, to family. It's only when we embrace rather than push away. It's only when we open up the doors, lower the walls, lower the shields, and find equality, find the things that make us greater in the other, that we can truly find peace. Today we're wearing orange shirts, and that is an important story, but it might not be my story to tell. What the Anglican Church does so well is it gives a place for someone with a funny collar to stand up here and tell you what to think, tell you what to do in these situations. But if we truly listen to one another, if we truly listen to the stories that are all around us to tell, we can do the hard work of getting to know each other, of lowering down those barriers of otherness, and learning more and more about the creation of God. You see, I deeply believe that I don't have everything that you need to know. In fact, I believe that there might be somebody at the back of the church who has a story or a lesson that I need to hear. The person out in the kitchen getting coffee ready for us might have a story that one of the younger people in the congregation needs to hear. It's in sharing with one another, it's in lowering our own perceived rightness, that we begin to know that God is bigger, more powerful, more incredible than we could ever ask or imagine. The Anglican Church used to have a church army. One of our parishioners actually came to faith in the church army. We don't have that anymore. But what if, instead of taking up the weapons of rightness, we pick up the shield of vulnerability? What an oxymoron. How can we be shielded with our vulnerability? We can't, and yet we are. The church holds paradoxes up before us all the time, and we recognize the truth in them. Mercy and justice don't go together, and yet in Christ they do. Do we have the courage, the faith, and the commitment to take up the arms of forgiveness, to put on the shield of vulnerability, to allow ourselves to encounter God in someone who doesn't look or think or act like us? In our gospel reading, Nathanael saw Christ as the Lord not because he conformed exactly to what the perfect standard of an Israelite would be, and Jesus said, hey, good job, but because Jesus knew Nathanael, knew him. The challenge, the struggle, the fight that we have is to overcome ourselves and get to know one another the way that Jesus knew Nathanael. We need to know the presence of God in the lives of one another. And that is a fight and a challenge and a struggle against ourselves that we need help with, that we need all the powers of angels to stand with us so that we can succeed. Today is Truth and Reconciliation Sunday, and there is a story to tell. And for those of you who can tell that story, please do. Please do. At our coffee hours, in the gatherings that we have for choir, for other places, tell your stories. And don't let your voices be silenced by anyone. For if God has revealed it to you, I deeply, truly believe that what God has revealed to you needs to be revealed to someone else. So let us not silence voices. Let us lift them up. Let us find ways and opportunities to speak and to let others speak. And let us listen with a compassionate and inquiring heart that we may see what God is doing in this world around us. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God. Invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer.
We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Lord, you call your church to be purified for your service. Set our wills on your kingdom alone. Cease our trivial squabbles and focus your church on proclaiming your glory. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Lord, you call the nations to be at peace with one another. Unite them in the pursuit of the good of all. May none prosper at the expense of others. We call upon your name, O Lord. To your prayer. Lord, you call us to live justly. Strengthen all who uphold order and bring to account any that cause harm. Turn us from the evil we do and the good we do not do. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Lord, you call us to care for all who are sick. Anoint them with your Holy Spirit. Raise them up to sing your praises. Today we pray especially for Anna, Eunice, Sylvia, Robert, Gavin, Catherine, Brian, Ashley, Carolyn, Dawn, Bruce, Mary, Sherry, Walter, Barb, Kevin, Marilyn and Tom, Dawn and Nancy, Martha, Janice, and Alan, Donna, Vi, Joan, Lupe, Kevin, and family. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Lord, your call brings us home. Draw to yourself all who have died. Restore them in your life and love. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand? After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples. He said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." Let us share that peace, Christ's peace, the true peace, with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of glory, as you have appointed angels to minister in your presence, so may all our worship bring you worthy praise. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right to glorify you, Father, and to give you thanks. For you alone are God, living and true, dwelling in light inaccessible from before time and forever. Fountain of life and source of all goodness, you made all things and fill them with your blessing. You created them to rejoice in the splendor of your radiance. Countless throngs of angels stand before you to serve you night and day. And beholding your presence, they offer you unceasing praise. Joining with them and giving voice to every creature under heaven, we acclaim you and glorify your name as we sing. Acclaim you, holy Lord, glorious in power. Your mighty works reveal your wisdom and love. You formed us in your own image, giving the whole world into our care, so that in obedience to you, our Creator, we might rule and serve all your creatures. When our disobedience took us far from you, you did not abandon us to the power of death. In your mercy, you came to our help, so that in seeking we might find you. Again and again you call us into covenant with you, and through your prophets you taught us to hope for salvation. Father, you loved the world so much that in the fullness of time you sent your only Son to be our Savior, incarnate by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He lived as one of us, yet without sin. To the poor he proclaimed the good news of salvation, to prisoners freedom, to the sorrowful joy. To fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the grave, destroyed death and made the whole creation new. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us, he sent the Holy Spirit. his own first gift to those who believe, to complete his work in the world, and to bring to fulfillment the sanctification of all. When the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At supper with them, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Father, now we celebrate the memorial of our redemption, recalling Christ's death and ascent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand, awaiting his coming in glory, and offering to you from the gifts you have given us this bread and this cup. We praise you and we bless you.
We praise you, we bless you, we give thanks to you, and we praise you, Lord our God.
Father, we pray that in your goodness and mercy, your Holy Spirit may descend upon us and upon these gifts, sanctifying them and showing them to be holy gifts for your holy people, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that all who share in this bread and this cup may become one body and one spirit, a living sacrifice in Christ to make the praise of your name. Remember, Lord, your one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, redeemed by the blood of your Christ. Reveal its unity, guard its faith, and preserve it in peace. And grant that we may find our inheritance with the Blessed Virgin Mary, with patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with Michael, and all the saints who have found favor with you in ages past. We praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty God, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Creator of all, you gave us golden fields of wheat, whose many grains we have gathered and made into this one bread.
So we gather together.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you have fed us with the bread of angels. May we who have come under their protection, like them, give you continual service and praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Our service of worship has come to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world now begins. Go in peace, the true peace of Christ, to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.